Good morning. I spent the winter of 1963 and 64 at the Naval Officers Candidate School in Newport, Rhode Island. Right on the cold and windswept Narragansett Bay in World War II barracks that were made in a hurry, and I don't think they had any insulation. I just remember that being a cold winter. I'll never forget one of our instructors at Officers Candidate School. Listen to this now. Master Chief Bosun Mate Davis. And if you know anything about the Navy, a bosun mate in the Navy, that is the rate that takes care of the hull. All the painting, all the lines, the anchors, the lifeboats, the captain's yacht. It's a big ship. If it's a big ship, they've got a yacht. And he was a salty character. Big guy, you know, petty officers in the Navy, they show their longevity with their stripes and his chest full of medals. Very colorful, told those stories about World War II, Korea. But one thing he always emphasized, and I'll never forget it, men, it will sink the ship. It will sink the ship. If you don't do the preventive maintenance and the training, if you don't keep up with it, it will sink the ship. Rust and salt water and salt air corrosion is the constant enemy on a Navy ship. And it has to be guarded against. So preventive maintenance is the theme that I have in mind this morning in our continuing study of spiritual ruggedness from the book of Job. Open with me to the book of Job. Last week, Bob Day pointed out that Job was a rugged, honored member of the community. And he gained that reputation. He gained that prestige in the community. He said in chapter 29, "Because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had no one to assist them." That's how he got the respect in his community. Now today, the author wants us to see Job as the wise father who, as priest of his home, does the preventive maintenance to keep his family in a right relationship with God. So, first chapter this morning, two verses. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, make note of that. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. So here we have a prosperous businessman who must be finding great delight in seeing all 10 of his children get along so well. Every time they have a party, they invite each other. Everybody is harmonious. So he has to feel good about that as a father. I know recently we've had a couple of dinners all together, daughters-in-law, sons, and we've been able to sit around the table together and discuss things that are important to us. And that is a very, that pleases me. On the way home, I would say to my wife, isn't that wonderful that we can do things like this? But, man, Job has a clear sense of priority. He's always on the job. He's a preventive maintenance man. He knows that the great enemy of spiritual mindedness is indulgence. Does that ring true? Does that ring true? Let's read verse 5 again. Early, the last part of it anyway, early in the morning he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. This is regular custom. I'm thinking of Chief, Master, Senior Chief Petty Officer, Bosun Mate Davis. You know, he puts his head down on the cot at night. He says, I wonder if those sailors tied down those tarps over the captain's yacht. We got a storm coming. You see what I'm saying? This guy is a preventive maintenance man. And he's not that he doesn't trust them. But just in case, their merrymaking has caused them to have the wrong thoughts. We're having such a good time here. Who needs God? Who needs the Lord? We made this happen. We made this wealth happen. I'll do things my way. Pride. Maybe it's jealousy of a sibling. Maybe it's lust. One of your sisters-in-law, after a few drinks, she's looking a little bit better than the woman you marry. It could be bitterness, unresolved issues. Whatever, don't give it a chance. He's a man of discipline, and he maintains the discipline of sacrifice. And men, this is so long ago. All we have to remember is sacrifice for us today means obedience. That is the way we can translate sacrifice. It's obedience. Even back then, before the law of Moses, he understood that sin required a substitutionary sacrifice. Even back then, before Abraham, before Moses, before the law of God, he understood what Agur would write later in the Proverbs. Give me only my daily bread, Proverbs 30. Give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Here's the idea that the scripture teaches over and over again. Too much is a hazard. We've discussed this many times at my table. Too much is a hazard. It's a liability. You're much better off depending on the Lord day by day. So many of us in this room, myself included, we are working at a disadvantage. We're too affluent. Sounds strange? Huh? Well, it's the biblical message throughout. Maybe, man, the seriousness of seeing that little lamb, I think sometimes we talk about this and we don't really think about it enough. Maybe seeing that little lamb having its throat cut and being sacrificed, maybe the seriousness of that will sober us up. And make us more mindful of eternity. Make us more mindful of eternity. And the awfulness of sin. See, what we have to keep in mind, and it's hard to do, is that the comforts we enjoy here are borrowed, and they can be taken back anytime. The wise father who is jealous for his family, for his family's eternal inheritance, is very realistic about the threat of material prosperity. It produces pride unless you're terribly, terribly careful. Let me read you what Moses would write many, many years later. It's hard to fathom the book of Job. Nobody knows who wrote it, and nobody knows when it was written. It was written, it's the first thing that was ever written that's recorded in Scripture. Here's what Moses wrote. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. I'm reading out of the book of Deuteronomy 8. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe the commandments, his laws that I am giving you. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and you settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then you will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Is that true? David? Okay. It's true, isn't it? Now, what is the big hazard to material prosperity? We forget where it came from, right? Everything we're enjoying, man, every breath we take is a gift from God. My wife is an extremely disciplined person. She's disciplined about everything. She's a great manager. She's got me working for her. She's disciplined about money. She's disciplined about her exercise. She's disciplined about her diet. She's disciplined about everything. Recently, we sat over at St. Joseph's Emory Hospital, and we heard the doctor say the word, cancer. Whoa, I said to her on the way home, that was very sobering. That sobered us up. Where did that come from, I said? Where did that come from? More than likely genetic. It's amazing. It's amazing. Men, we live in a broken world. This world is broken. It just doesn't work the way it was designed to work. And we're all going to die someday. As my doctor said to me one day, don't drop your guard. It happens to every one of us. Now, as a father of adult men who are enjoying prosperity, all of them, I am aware of the temptation they are facing, and I have two sacrifices that I have to make as a duty to them, as a duty to the Lord and a duty to them. The first sacrifice that I have to make is to pray faithfully for them so they too will bring up their families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The other big sacrifice, and especially a big sacrifice for me, is to restrain myself from giving too much advice. It doesn't say anything here that he was trying to counsel them or tell them what to do. Men, Master Chief Bosun's mate, Davis, knew very well that salt air and salt water are relentless enemies to a ship's hull. It will sink the ship. And so preventive maintenance, men, is the only answer to the threat, the constant threat to our spiritual health, to us and our families. The challenge today is real simple. Pray daily for our children. One thing good about having to stand up here this morning and talk like this is, I've got a built-in accountability point here. All right? Pray daily for our children and be ready to give advice when needed and not before. Amen. Welcome to all of you new men. I started coming here to the Friday Morning Men's Fellowship about 40 years ago. I wouldn't know what else to do on a Friday. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the wonderful scriptures. Thank you for the book of Job, which has been so meaningful to so many for thousands of years. I pray today that each man here would have the grace to pray for his family and to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.